Hi everybody, welcome back to the DevOps Lab. I'm Damien, I'm joined today by Gary. Gary, what are we talking about?
Today we're talking about Cake. So Cake is a build automation tool. Mm-hmm. It's an open source project that's been around since about 2014. And its intention is to make it really easy for to automate your build process and allowing you to orchestrate all the tools that you need to do as part of your build.
Right, that's pretty useful. Don't miss it. Hey everybody, welcome back to the DevOps Lab. I'm Damien. I'm joined today by Gary. Thanks for joining me.
No problem at all. Happy to be here.
Awesome. So we are at Kansas City DevConf.
Sure.
You had a session yesterday.
Yep.
You're talking about Cake. For those who don't know, what is Cake?
So Cake is it's a build automation tool. So it's an orchestrator of things that you do as part of your build process.
Mm-hmm.
The slight difference between it and some of the other build tools is that it's the script, the actual thing that you're creating is written in C#.
Right.
So anyone who's familiar with C# the idea is that they can be immediately successful in writing the build process as well, rather than having to learn another language to perform the build process.
Is this Make but for C#?
Essentially, so the name that it's got kind of comes from that heritage. So you've got the Make, the Rake, the Fake, the Cake, right? So it's kind of a play on obviously C#.
Yeah.
And the original creator, Patrick, chose that name to kind of fit in with those other ecosystems. So in the same way that you can write a build for a Ruby application in Rake or an F# project in Fake, mm-hmm. you can do the same thing with Cake if you're a C# developer.
Okay, and so like that sounds immediately like one of the advantages of doing this is that you're writing in a language that as a developer you're likely going to be familiar with,
yep.
right, in
C#. Definitely.
What are the other reasons you might want to use something like this rather than, I mean, there's countless build tools out there. Would you use Cake instead of those tools or alongside those tools?
So the way I like to put it is that, let's put it in context. I used to be, for example, the maintainer of the Saki project, which was the PowerShell build automation tool.
Mm-hmm.
It was written in PowerShell. It does a fantastic job. The problem that I had was that I was the only person on the team that was able to write PowerShell or understand PowerShell.
Right.
So when something went wrong with the build or when something needed to get added to the build, I was the one that had to do it. So in order to empower the other developers on the team, using something like C# makes sense if the application that you're writing is also written in C#, because they can be immediately effective.
Right.
So what I like to say is, there's no, how about I say, there's some people say that there's a good opportunity when you're writing a build script mm-hmm. to become more of a polyglot developer by writing in another language.
Sure.
So if you wanted to learn, say, F# or you wanted to learn PowerShell, then using that as the build script is a good way of learning that. And mm-hmm. I totally get that, and I totally agree with that, until that day when the build is broken and it's a Friday and you just want to go home.
Yeah.
That having that context switching having to happen, that for me is a difficult one. If it's in a language that I'm already writing in and I'm already happy in,
mm-hmm.
why would I want to add that additional onus on me to make that, to have to do that work?
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I always advocate that regardless of which C# build automation tool you use one that matches the language you're ultimately writing in.
So does that mean it's only really for building .NET projects, or you can use it for anything?
Absolutely. So at its heart, I kind of mentioned that Cake is an automation tool. So anything that you can automate,
yeah.
you can do with C#. So as an example, I'm kind of one of the main maintainers of Visual Studio Code extension, which
okay.
is written in, inherently it's in TypeScript. So it involves things like NPM and doing all that sort of stuff. So I could, in theory, do all of that build process in TypeScript equivalent or in JavaScript using Grunt or Gulp or something like that.
Mm.
But because I'm more proficient in Cake, I use Cake as the overall build for that particular project, and then I'm shelling out to those tools that ultimately are in a different ecosystem, but you can definitely
right.
do that. So then we have, Cake has the concept of add-ins as well. So we bring in tools like CMake or Grunt or Gulp. So we can orchestrate all of those tools by bringing those add-ins into the mix and just adding them into the overall Cake ecosystem.
Okay, Right. So you can, it's like a lot of these things. It's essentially an orchestrator for whatever you want to do.
Yep.
It would run that. So I want to come back as well to the idea of the advantages of using this rather than just tying yourself to another platform. Like if you're using Azure Pipelines, why not just use the native tasks in Azure
Absolutely.
Pipelines?
Absolutely, and there's nothing inherently wrong with using what's in Azure Pipelines. I mean, it does what it does.
Yep.
The fact that there's now YAML across both builds and releases, in terms of putting that into source control and having that, knowing what's changed over time, absolutely, that makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that I'm interested in something like Cake and Saki before that was that I also wanted to run that build locally on my own machine.
Right.
So prior to making the commit and pushing it to GitHub or to Azure repos and then having the build kick off, I actually want to run it locally on my own machine as well. So using something like Cake, I define my build script in my Cake file. I get it all working. I can run it locally,
mm-hmm.
and then if I then want to build on Azure Pipelines, I can then add one single task into either my YAML or in the GUI and say just execute that Cake script,
right.
rather than having to predefine all of those tasks in there. So there's nothing inherently wrong with doing what Azure Pipelines does out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that my preference is, and what we've heard from some other people, is that I also want to be able to run it locally.
Yeah.
But also, this more predates where we are now with Azure Pipelines, that we can run on Mac and on Linux and on Windows. Previously, you would have had to use AppBear for doing your Windows build. You would have had to use Travis CI for doing your Mac and your Linux build. So you would always have at least two or three CI/CD platforms that you were using.
Yep.
So again, using something like Cake, which is cross-platform, you can use that as the consistent thing, and then you just have one single entry in each of those CI/CD pipelines to kick off that build.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And by doing that, it means, so the build that you can do locally, there is a difference often between, you know, Control-Shift-B on your machine,
yep.
compiles on my machine, but when we hit the build server, it's not the same. So having those same tasks give you a bit more trust, I guess.
Absolutely, and that's kind of one of the things I mentioned in my talk yesterday was Visual Studio is great, and MS Build are great, but sometimes there's some magic happening that you don't, if you're new to the platform, you don't necessarily know what's going on.
Yep.
So one example of that is, obviously, is if I'm doing a compilation of a .NET Core project, I'm almost certainly going to be having a NuGet package restore prior to that, because
yep.
I need to bring in all those third-party DLLs, I need to bring in the ASP.NET components that I'm using.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Visual Studio does all of that for you.
Right.
Now, as soon as you take that, that's probably a bad example, because MS Build will probably help me with that when I do that, but there are other things on top of that, likes of once a build completes, you want to, the next time you run the build, you want to clean the folders on the file system to, again, make sure that build is resilient and repeatable and consistent.
Mm-hmm.
By taking all of that magic away from the IDEs and putting it and documenting it into your build script, you then own the entire process from end to end. So there's a much better chance that build is going to be repeatable, so that when something does break, it's an actual break, as opposed to an inconsistency in the build or some sort of race condition or something like that, because you own that entire process from end to end.
Gotcha. Yeah, and you touched on it really briefly as well about the dependencies, the other tools you may need to do those builds and so on. If you're running that Cake script locally, you may have things installed that are required.
Absolutely.
How do you build that into the
script? What we have, Cake has the concept of what we refer to as a preprocessor directives.
Okay.
And that's similar to what you might find in F# scripting or C# scripting natively.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a pound sign or the hash sign at the top of the file.
Yep.
And in there you can specify things like a tool preprocessor directive. So if you need, as an example, if you were doing unit tests and you wanted to have an HTML file generated at the end of it to say whether my unit tests are getting better or worse than my test coverage, you might want to install something like report unit. So you can define that in your Cake script to say that I need this tool.
Right.
So what Cake will then do as part of its bootstrapping is it will make sure that that tool is downloaded and put somewhere that it can then execute it as part of the build process. Uh-huh. So what ends up happening is, again, you're adding that documentation to the to that script or set of scripts that say, these are the things that I need for this build to succeed. Mm-hmm. In the same way that you can say an individual tool, you can also specify a specific version to install as well. So again, there's that repeatability coming in. Now you'll get things like that in Azure Pipelines, obviously, so you can specify on a given task that you need this thing to be installed or you need this thing to be available.
Yep.
But again, it's bringing that out into C# land that is, again, familiar and consistent for people that are C# developers natively.
Right, definitely. The other thing you touched on, I think, was when you were talking about cross-platform, where you might want to build your .NET project, .NET Core project for Linux and Mac,
yep,
and so on. And yes, you can do that with several tools. But by having that same script that works in the same way cross-platform, that means that you are not locked to that one tool. Is that...
To an extent, yeah. So, I mean, so there's... By tool there, do you mean, are you talking about this?
Sorry, the orchestrator. So like Azure Pipelines, if
yes,
you wanted
absolutely.
To start doing that in a different tool,
yeah,
for example.
Absolutely. So the example that I give in that scenario is we build Cake with Cake on
right.
something like 14 different CI/CD platforms.
Yeah.
Now, to most people in most open source projects, that's a little bit excessive, and that's absolutely true. But we also like to prove how that works, so that when someone comes up to us in our support forums or opens an issue, we can say, oh, this is how you do it on CircleCI, or this is how you do it on Travis, or this is how you do it on Azure Pipelines.
Yeah, right.
The other part of that is that there are sometimes, so again, there's some magic happens. As soon as you run tools like, I'm trying to think of a good example, like XUnit, I believe,
mm-hmm.
if you're running XUnit on Team City, it already knows that it's running on Team City, so it will start sending out service messages to say that this test failed or this test passed. So by running our Cake builds on something like Team City, because we have interactions with Team City, we can know ahead of time if we have actually inadvertently broken something or caused something to not work.
Right.
So Mateus on the team is kind of responsible for having that lots and lots of builds happening. So every time we do a commit into the Cake repository, into our main development branch, it triggers lots of builds all over the place. So we get lots of notifications coming through to say that hopefully this succeeded, but we also know quite quickly if we've broken something.
In one of those,
yeah.
In one of those
and
teams,
then
yeah.
to put that Cake script in place in all of those places, it is just one task.
Right.
So rather than redefining the entire build process in each of those things, so whether it's in YAML, whether it's in Kotlin for Team City, whether it's in something else for
yep.
one of the other ones, it's a one-liner that's just literally executing the Cake script.
Right.
Yeah.
If somebody wanted to have a go at it, try and get started, try and Cake for their own
mm-hmm.
project, where do we go?
So the best place to probably get started, so on the cakebuild.net website,
mm-hmm.
we have an introduction section which is a getting started project. So there is actual, it's just an, it's actually called the example repository.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a repository that we host on our GitHub organization, and then the tutorial walks you through building that cake dot, creating that build.cake file, starting to put the tasks in place so that it does the build, does the clean, and then ultimately does, I think there's a publish as well. And the publish in this case, is it's not putting it anywhere. It's probably dropping on a file on a file system, but
yeah.
The idea being that you can take that publish step, extend it to actually what it needs to do for your build environment. So
okay.
that's probably the best place to start.
Right. And then after that, documentation and so on.
So we like to think that we like to think we've got some fairly good documentation.
Mm-hmm.
The way that the documentation is generated is we use a tool called YAM that was written by Dave Glick. So what it does, it is actually looks at the source code for Cake, and it brings through all of that API documentation and plugs it into the website directly.
Uh-huh.
And then we've gone one step further. So Cake has this concept of add-ins, where people in the community have added additional add-ins into the Cake ecosystem for different tools that we don't support out of the box.
Okay.
So out of the box, we support things like XUnit and NUnit. but we don't support something like Fixie, which is another unit testing tool. So someone in the community created an add-in for that. So what we do is every time we build our website, we actually download all of those NuGet packages, and we recommend that add-in authors also include the XML files for the documentation.
Right.
So we pull all of that documentation together and again stitch that into the final published website. So we're also actually documenting all of the third-party ecosystem as well.
That's quite
on the build on the generated kick.build on that website.
That's cool.
We like to think we're covered there. Obviously, not everyone likes to read documentation, but we like to think it's there. But also, there's plenty of examples of people using Cake, and you can see how other people have done it, and we can point the people in directions of that.
And I think you mentioned when we were talking before that it's C#, so things like IntelliSense, if you're writing that in VS Code, there's extensions for that.
That's one of there are two common requests that come in when we start talking about Cake to people and what they want to see. The first one is the ability to debug a build script that they've created.
Yep.
So what we've added in there is the ability to debug. So you can set a breakpoint in your Cake script, and then you can then get full usage of the watch window, looking at variables, all that sort of thing, and then stepping through the code to see maybe why your build isn't working. Now, obviously, that will only work locally, and that's no replacement for logging or instrumentation to say why the overall builds are failing once they go onto a CI/CD platform.
Yep.
So that's one of the main asks. The other one is IntelliSense, what you spoke about. So it is just C#, but because we add in, we have what we refer to as a DSL on top of C#. So that's where we add in things like the task method, which is like our main entry point for controlling the flow of the build.
Mm-hmm.
And we also add a bunch of extension methods to make things easier for the end user.
Right.
The side effect of that is that we can't use out of the box C# and IntelliSense because those things don't know about our DSL that sits on top of C#.
Right.
So what we ended up doing, and by we, I mean Martin on the team, he worked very closely with the OmniSharp team. So he's created a module for OmniSharp, which once installed, provides that additional knowledge to OmniSharp. So from there, we can get full IntelliSense. I was going to say we get refactorings as well, but I don't think we've gone that far. Mm-hmm. But you do then get error checking. So if you forget a semicolon at the end of a line, that will be flagged and it will be marked as a problem inside of VS Code.
Right.
So that at the minute only works in VS Code.
Uh-huh.
Martin has some great plans in terms of how that support can be extended across other IDEs.
Yep.
But at the minute, the best support for IntelliSense with Cake is in VS Code.
Okay, awesome. That'll make it very easy for people to actually.
I mean, that's the idea.
What
we've got inside Visual Studio Code is actually a Visual Studio Code extension as well, specifically for Cake.
Right.
So adding things like the IntelliSense support, adding the debugging, that's just now a command in the command palette. So you can just open up the command palette, type in Cake, and then in there is install debug support and install IntelliSense support. So that can bring it down and put it into your local workspace as well.
Awesome. Well, we'll put show links,
in
the show notes for details of those so people can get started as well. But thank you so much for sharing this as well. And hopefully everybody found that useful, another option that you have for building your stuff.
Perfect.
Thanks again. And thanks everyone for joining us. We'll see you next time on another DevOps Lab.